Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for doing that. My name is Mike Roizen, and we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can discover vitamins and supplements personalized to your needs. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com, mypersona.com. You know, I've always thought of longevity as the next disruptor, but one of those things that's impeding longevity might be viruses, and especially viruses that we don't have good treatments for. One of the people studying that has a connection that is wonderful. He doesn't know this yet, but my daughter is an organic chemist who teaches at Duke, and so I realize how tough organic chemistry is. She did her organic chemistry PhD at another institution. He did it at a famous institution as well. My daughter at Johns Hopkins. My daughter did it at Caltech, and worked about 16 to 18 hours a day in the lab during that period of time, so I know how tough it is. Robert Linhart is the Senior Constellation Professor of Biocatalysis and Metabolic Engineering and a professor in the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology in the Department of Biology and in the Department of Chemical and Biologic Engineering. And that is saying a lot. He's at RPI, Rensselaer Polytech Institute, up in Troy. I think it's still in Troy, New York. And he is a superstar in this area. He's going to talk to us about diagnostic tests for viruses. One of those specifically that we'll get to is the dengue virus. So, Dr. Linhart, how did you get into viral detection?
Well, we've been working a long time with carbohydrates. And we know that a lot of viruses bind to the carbohydrates on cells. And so we're interested in carbohydrate viral interactions. And so we knew, for instance, that different viruses bind to different carbohydrates. For instance, influenza virus binds to a carbohydrate called sialic acid, and it uses it to gain entry into the lung and cause flu. And so most viruses initially interact with cells through their carbohydrate on the surface of cells.
So there are a number of viruses that we fear because we don't have good treatment for them now, and I want to eventually get to coronavirus, but let's talk about some of those that are really dangerous for us. So West Nile and the some of the others that are cause brain dysfunction are really bad, and dengue fever is one of those, is it not?
Yes, and not just dengue fever, but also Zika. And so if you remember, the Zika virus caused brain damage in newborns in Brazil just last year. It was really prevalent in Brazil. Actually, it's about 2 years ago now. And Zika and dengue and West Nile are all members of a family of viruses called flaviviruses. And these viruses are very difficult to treat once you get them. And they can cause really severe effects. Like in the case of Zika, they cause this microcephaly in which the brain size of a baby born to an infected mother is very small. And so it's a real problem. And so these viruses are not only difficult to treat, but they're also difficult to detect and distinguish from each other.
Now, that's where you come in, and that's where proteoglycans and other glycoconjugates. So what those are is, as I understand it, is they're the carbohydrates on the surface of the cell that the virus binds to.
That's right. All our cells are essentially sugar-coated, so they're coated with carbohydrates. And virus particles initially bind to cells by interacting with the carbohydrates on the cell surface. And then eventually they bind to a protein receptor and they gain entry into the cell. So we'd like to interfere with that initial binding, or at least use that binding as a way of detecting viruses.
So let's go and say, do we have something, an anti-sugar, if you will, or something, or for one of the obvious questions that I think I know the answer to, if we eat more sugar or fructose or something like that, simple carbohydrates, that doesn't increase the sugar on the cell surface, does it?
No, absolutely not. It won't make a difference. And so we need some way to interfere with these interactions between the virus and the sugar. And one approach that we have that we've called DNA Star uses something called origami DNA. And I know you and your listeners probably heard about origami, paper origami, where you fold paper up into some shape, like a swan or some other shape. And you can actually fold DNA up into defined shapes. And what we've done is we've attached sugars to DNA that's folded in the shape of a star. And we attach sugars to the point of the star. And we actually design this star so it absolutely fits perfectly over the virus target.
So essentially what you're doing is giving it a fake target, a target that's attached to the receptor, but that binds the virus and then doesn't allow that protein to let it into the cell. Is that right?
Yeah, we actually bind the virus and prevent it from gaining access to its receptor on the cell. And we also can use these, what we call DNA stars, not only to trap the virus or capture the virus, but we can also use them to detect the virus. So when we build these DNA stars, we can build them with something called a molecular beacon. And it sounds like exactly what it is. It's a beacon that lights up when the virus is bound to the star. And so you can get very sensitive detection of a virus, better than almost any other method of detection. And it's very easy to measure this detection because you're just measuring a light. And so you take a blood sample or a sample saliva, and you could detect the virus at very, very low concentrations. So it's great for detection, but also potentially for treatment.
And let me go in and now switch a little bit and say, have you tested this in animals? Is it been tested in humans, this DNA star? And then let me get into some other viruses. So the star part of the DNA isn't because the DNA is a star like the best thing in the world, but it's a star because it has a point that has this binding site for the virus on it. Is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, for the dengue and Zika virus, we found that a star that had 5 points was absolutely a winner as far as being able to bind very tightly and very specifically to the dengue and the Zika virus. And we could select either one based on what we put at the point of the stars to interact with the virus. And so we can change the binding partners, so we can detect different parts of the virus, and we bind very tightly to the virus and tie it up. And depends on the shape of the star, also the number of points in the star, and also the distance between the points in the star.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Now, let's flip over to the coronavirus, which you've heard about recently. It's a different class of viruses. So is there a star that could do the same thing with that, both be more accurate in detection as well as help prevent the coronavirus from getting into, for example, into our immune cells?
Yes, I believe there is. Now, we haven't done all the work that's needed because the coronavirus is pretty recent. But we've just begun to look at the coronavirus and related viruses, SARS virus and the MERS virus. And so the SARS virus, you may remember from a decade or so ago, started in China and then moved to Toronto. And then the MERS virus was mostly found in the Middle East. And they're all coronaviruses, like the COVID-19, which is the new Wuhan coronavirus. And we're looking right now at designing specific DNA origami stars that will match the coats on each one of these coronaviruses.
And where are we in that process? Where are you in that process, if you will?
Very early. So we've just finally gotten the the viral coats, what the viral RNA in this case, or DNA in other cases, are contained in is called an envelope or a capsule. And the viral envelope proteins, we've just finally gotten copies of those. So those we're now testing with sugars that bind to them. And then we'll put those sugars on the points of a star that's designed to display the sugars in the best fashion to recognize each virus. And hopefully within a month or so, we'll have a way of recognizing coronavirus COVID-19 from, say, the other coronaviruses like SARS or MERS.
And is the hope, and do we know how good, and I realize I'm asking you a question that may not be appropriate, so just tell me it isn't. Do we know how effective the treatments are, if you will? Are they effective enough, meaning not only do they detect it, but can you coat immune cells as well as other cells and thus prevent some of what we think of as the immune storm that occurs with these viruses?
So what we're actually doing is we're using these stars to coat the virus, so preventing it from getting into the cells and from replicating.
Any cells. So.
From any cell. That's right. And so, I understand your question. We don't really know of the efficacy either in the case of dengue or in the case of coronavirus, but we did use the same approach to target influenza, and we found that at least in mice, we could rescue mice from influenza very effectively with these type of structures.
And how long does it take to, one, build them? So you said you've got the coronavirus and it's too early to tell. We haven't done this with the dengue virus in patients yet, I assume.
That's correct.
And how long is the, just let's say there was a dengue outbreak, how long would it take you to make enough of this to be able to use it, assuming you got a bypass from the FDA on regulation because of an urgent problem, how long would it take to produce this?
Well, the good thing is we can synthesize DNA very, very fast and very inexpensively. So these are made just of DNA. So you make the DNA and it folds into the shape. And we actually decorate the structure with carbohydrates, and we have those as well. The issue really is not how long to make them. It's the regulatory process and getting them approved that takes the length of time, because we'd have to go into animals and then ultimately into some at least limited human studies to show that they were safe. So those are the slow steps.
And is there, I should tell people we are talking, and I'm so fascinated I forgot to do my ad and everything else. We're talking with Dr. and Professor Robert Linhart, who is at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. He's a professor of who trained in organic chemistry, and if you want, he's got a really interesting title, the Senior Constellation Professor of Biocatalysis and Metabolic Engineering, and a professor in the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology, Department of Biology, and Department of Chemical and Biologic Engineering, the Department of Biomedical Engineering at RPI, or Rensselaer Polytech Institute. And so he's got this wonderful title, but he's in this fascinating field. So I want to get to a little bit on that. I should tell people we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. And, of course, one of the things we always hope is that you take the free assessment at mypersona.com. Find out what you're missing or not missing in your diet and your nutrients, and then decide whether you want to supplement or whether you don't need to. And if you do decide to supplement, if you go to mypersona.com, / Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, that's my last name, you get a 50% discount on your first order. And I do treasure the relationship with Persona Nutrition. Now, Dr. Linhart, if I can come back to this, it's so fascinating. You got into the field of, if you will, this carbohydrate metabolism, and then got into viruses. How long has this journey into viruses been for you?
Pretty short in the scope of my career. We focused on infectious disease probably in the last 10 years. We think it's a growing problem because it impacts otherwise healthy people, whereas other diseases like, you know, cardiovascular disease or neurological diseases are diseases more associated with older people. And so we're very interested in tackling infectious disease. And there's just too little research in this area.
And is there a company associated with your work now? In other words, it not only takes a lot of research and background to come to this point, and that's where your research funding and people's funding of your research, individuals' donations, et cetera, play a key role. And you are a member of the Center of Biotechnology and Interdisciplinary Studies at RPI. It's called the Center for Biotechnology and Interdisciplinary Centers, so CBIS at, if you will, in Troy, New York, at RPI, Rensselaer Polytech Institute. But it takes an awful lot to go through a lot of money, time, effort, and specialization to go through the regulatory processes of animal testing and then bring it to humans. So is there a company associated with this yet?
And not directly. So basically we have some, there are some companies that make the carbohydrate ligands that we use, the carbohydrates that we used to recognize the viruses. And so, and there are companies that make origami DNA or folded DNA. So I think what we really want to do is demonstrate the power of this approach and potentially introduce it as a diagnostic first, and then that would promote interest in looking at it as a therapeutic.
And while we're talking about diagnostics, I feel like I've got to ask you about one of the problems we've been having now with the coronavirus, is apparently the lack of accurate diagnostic testing. Can you speak to a little bit? I don't know if you've been up on that. Can you speak to a little bit of that problem and how should we or how do we get around that problem?
Yeah, that is a big problem. And the diagnostics had to be developed very, very fast. And so they're not highly reliable. You get a lot of false negatives and false positives. That means that sometimes the diagnostic says that you're not infected when you are or you are infected when you're not. And so it's not very reliable. It's not as reliable as diagnostics that have been used for a longer period of time because some of the reagents are not so stable and the diagnostics are being made really fast and the kits, and they're not so easy to use either. And so I think our DNA STAR strategy would offer a diagnostic that's more robust and gives less false negatives and false positives. So that's why we're very interested in first pursuing the diagnostic avenue, since it's not highly regulated like the therapeutic area.
If you had to predict what's going to happen with the coronavirus, one, will we have therapies for it? Will we have some blocking agents, like you say? And will we start to use the DNA STAR technology both for diagnosis of dengue and for diagnosis of coronavirus anytime in the near future?
So I know at least for strategies to treat coronavirus, COVID-19, I think there are some strategies. There are some reverse transcriptase inhibitors, protease inhibitors that are looking pretty, at least promising in their studies. There's some clinical studies going on in China right now. And so there are some promising therapeutics that are used to treat other viral infections. This is a retrovirus, so like HIV. So those drugs seem to be having some positive effect on patients. So I think there'll be some therapies coming out in the near term. And certainly in the next year, people would like to develop a vaccine. It takes at least a year to develop a vaccine. So I think that I'm hopeful that there's some therapy that will be effective or some vaccine that will come out for the COVID-19.
We've been talking with Dr. Robert Linehart, Linhardt, who's a professor at Rensselaer Polytech Institute. RPI is one of our oldest and most prominent technologic institutes and research universities. RPI encompasses 5 schools, 32 research centers, and more than 145 academic programs with about 8,000 students and over 100,000 living alumni. This is an exciting and fascinating field. Dr. Linehart, Linhardt, as I said. If you want to find out more, you can go to CBIS, which is for the Center of Biotechnology and Interdisciplinary Studies at RPI. I should thank you for being on. Organic chemistry, I know from my daughter's work, and she went to school not far from where you are at Williams College before she went to Caltech. So I know how hard the field is, how competitive it is, and obviously Dr. Linehart is able to explain such difficult concepts with enviable lucidity that it is remarkable. Thank you for being a guest, Dr. Linehart. We are, of course, brought to you, all of you, every week by Persona Nutrition. I take personalized supplements, and you can too. You can take the free online assessment and get your recommendations at mypersona.com. And again, if you want that discount of 50% off your first order, mypersona.com/Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N. You've been listening to this segment 983B of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Joe, thanks for great engineering, and especially our listeners, thank you for downloading and listening. This is going to be one of my favorite segments just because it is so unusual and so well described of a difficult topic. Thank you, Dr. Linhart.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back next week, and our guest next week is Dr. Adam Hill. His book, Long Walk Out of the Woods. And, of course, I've got to tell you, and I'll review my favorite of all of the talks in the last year, Catherine Eban, author of Bottle of Lies, The Inside Story of the Generic Drug Boom and How It Was Exposed. And that's one of my favorites. And I think another one, 981B, Ken Druck, Raising an Aging Parent. But this one, 983B, will be in that favorite group as well. Tell your friends about us. Thanks again, and we'll be back next week.